The dark storm was all about them now, swirling and howling. Their clothes flapped in the gusts. He had to squint against the dust. In their death, they passed on their gift. That is the reason they gave their lives when you refused the offer, to pass their gift to the next, to make her stronger so she might succeed at the next try. That was why he had felt the pull to accept the collar more strongly each time the offer had been made. Kaelin had said that that might have been the reason they killed themselves when he refused, to add to their power, make them stronger.
You mean you have the power, the Han of the other sisters?
She nodded as her eyes darted about. It gives me the power of all three. Her eyes came back to his. It could be that I have too much power to make it through. She clutched his shirt tighter and pulled him closer to her face.
If I don't make it, you must go on alone. Try to make it on your own.
What? I don't know how to make it through. I don't feel anything of the spells about us.
Don't argue with me. You felt the lightning. You felt that much of it. One without the gift would not feel it until it was too late. You must try.
Sister, you will be all right. You will sense the way.
But if I don't, you must try. Ignore anything you see that tempts you. Richard, if I die, you must try to make it through to the Palace of the Prophets.
If anything happens to you, I'll try to make it back to the Midlands. It's closer.
She gave a sharp tug on his shirt.
No! Must you always challenge what I tell you?
She scowled at him a moment before letting her expression cool.
Richard, if you don't have a sister to teach you to control the gift, you will die. The collar alone will not save you. You must have a sister for the Rada Han to be of use. Without a sister, it would be like having lungs but no air to fill them. We are the air. Some of us have already given our lives to help you. Don't let them die in vain.
He took her hand from his shirt and gave it a gentle squeeze.
You're going to make it. I promise you, you'll make it. If there is anything I can do to help, I'll try.
Don't be afraid. Ignore what you're seeing. Isn't that what you said? She released an exasperated breath and then took her hand back, turning away.
You don't know the things I see.
She looked over her shoulder, squinting at him.
Don't test me, Richard. I'm not in the mood. You do as you're told.
Richard heard the thunder of horses' hooves as Sister Verna quickly led them ahead. The darkness swirled around them as lightning crackled through it. He found it difficult to accept the calmness of the horses. Could it be that he really was using the gift to feel it? To his left, the wall of dust lifted. Light beyond shone through. Richard stared at the sight. It was the Heartland Woods, the woods he knew, longed to return to. They were here, before him. He had only to step through. The peace of the place he stared at made him ache with longing, as if stepping through to them would be his salvation. But he knew it was an illusion, a spell of longing meant to trap him and let him wander for all time in ensorcelment. He wondered what would be so bad about that, even if it wasn't real. If it was a place he loved and he would be happy there, what would be so bad about that? He heard his name called again, again in a scream. Horses' hooves were almost upon him. He spun around, realizing it was Chase's voice screaming his name.
Ignore it, Richard, came the sister's growl. Keep moving.
Richard longed for his friend as much as he longed for the Heartland Woods. He walked backward, watching. Chase was riding at a full gallop, his black cloak flying behind, his weapons glinting in the light of the merciless sun. The horse was covered with lather. Someone else was with him, in his lap. Richard squinted, trying to see better, and realized it was Rachel. That was natural. Rachel would be with Chase. Rachel was screaming his name, too. Richard watched the illusion as it bore down upon him. Something about Rachel riveted his attention. Something about her gave Richard the strong sense of Zed's presence. His eyes were lured to an amber stone hanging by a gold chain about her neck. The sight of the stone drew Richard's interest as if it was Zed himself calling to him.
Richard!
Chase was screaming.
Don't go in there! Don't go in there! Zed needs you! The veil is torn! Richard!
Chase suddenly drew the horse to a skidding stop. Richard took slow, backward steps as he watched the illusion. Chase had gone calm and was no longer screaming. With Rachel in his arms, he dismounted, looking about in wonder. The dust was passing between them again, and Richard was having difficulty seeing his old friend. Chase set Rachel down and took her hand as they both turned about, staring off at nothing. Richard thought that an odd thing for a vision to do, but then decided it must just be a way of trying to entice him to go see what they were looking at. Richard turned to the sister as she called his name.
Come on, or I'll make you wish I had left you here. You mustn't stop.
She surveyed each side as she moved ahead.
This opening is closing around us. Hurry, before we're trapped.
Richard glanced behind. The vision was disappearing beyond the swirling darkness. Chase and Rachel appeared to be walking off toward something. The roiling clouds passed between Richard and the vision of his friends, and they were gone. Richard trotted to catch up with Sister Verna. He wondered at the reason for such an odd vision. Why would the magic pick those two from his mind to tempt him? They had seemed so real. It had felt as if he could have reached out and touched the two of them. Perhaps the magic was trying to seduce him into following someone he trusted with his life. But it had seemed so real. Chase had looked so desperate. He cautioned himself to pay attention. Of course it seemed real to him. That was the whole purpose of the magic, to appear real in order to fool you, to draw you in. It wouldn't be very effective magic if it didn't seem real. Richard put a hand to Jessup's flanks as he came up behind him, to let him know he was there and keep from startling him. He ran the hand along the length of the muscular horse as he trotted by, pulling Bonnie and Geraldine along by their lines in his other hand. Richard gave Jessup a pat on the neck as he went past. Jessup dropped his head and once again browsed at grass that wasn't there, his lead line dragging the ground. Richard froze in his tracks. Sister Verna was gone. Lightning exploded in every direction with deafening noise. A bolt blasted the ground at his feet. He leapt to the side to avoid the next strike. His hair seemed to stand on end as the lightning hit. He could feel the searing heat. His vision was laced with blue-white afterimages of the jagged flashes. Richard screamed out the sister's name as he gathered up the lead lines, pulling the horses on as he frantically scanned about. The lightning seemed to follow him, striking the ground repeatedly where seconds ago he had been. Balls of flame ignited in the air, shrieking as they came apart. It seemed as if the very air burned. The wail of the fire was everywhere. Richard ran toward the gaps left after each dissipated, dodging the lightning and the flames, covering his head with a hand, even though he knew that if the magic hit him, that hand wouldn't save him. The cacophony seemed enough to drive a person mad. The dark dust clouds prevented him from seeing anything, if indeed there was anything to see. He ran on, heedless of direction, just trying to avoid the blue bolts and yellow flames. Abruptly, the corner of white, polished marble walls loomed up before him. Lurching to a panting halt, he looked up but couldn't see the top. It disappeared into the dark cloud above. A strike that was too close for comfort started him running again, pulling the three horses behind. The middle of the wall had an arched opening in it. Rounding the corner, he found that that wall, too, held an arched opening. As he ran, he counted. Each of the five sides of the structure was about 30 strides. In the center of each wall was an arched opening 6 strides wide and about as tall. He stopped, catching his breath, outside one of the openings. It was empty inside, and through the opening he could see each arch in the other walls. Lightning hammered the ground, flinging dirt into the air. He threw his arms up in front of his face. The strikes marched toward him, their sound thundering in his ears. He had nowhere to go. He let go of the horses and dove through the arch, rolling across the sandy ground inside. Silence echoed in his ears as he sat up, leaning back on his hands. Inside, the structure was barren, empty. The air wasn't sweltering as it had been outside, but felt almost cool in comparison, and smelled sweet, like a grassy meadow. Through the arched openings, he could see the boiling black clouds that hugged the ground. The lightning arced violently, but its sound was only a dim rumble. The horses wandered slowly, grazing on the grass that wasn't there. This must be one of the towers of perdition Sister Verna had told him about. The interior of the walls soared up into the darkness high above and were black with the results of wizard's life fire. Richard ran a finger through the black grit and tasted it. He winced at the bitter tang it left on his tongue. The wizard who had died to give his life to this fire had not done so willingly. He had done it to save himself the torture of what they had intended to do to him, or perhaps what they were doing to him. The ground was covered with white sand that sparkled with prismatic light. It was drifted into the corners like snow. Richard remembered seeing sand like this before. It was in the People's Palace, in the Garden of Life, in a circle in the center of the room. Darkenrall had drawn spells in that sparkling white sand when he had been trying to open the boxes of Orden. Richard paced around the inside of the tower, trying to decide what to do. It seemed safe in this place, but for how long? Surely, sooner or later, the magic would find him. Maybe the seeming safety of this place was simply an enchantment meant to trap him, keep him here for all time, afraid to venture out. He couldn't stay. He had to find the sister. She needed his help. She was afraid. He had told her she would make it through.
But why should he want to help her? She kept him prisoner. If he left her here, he would be free. But free to do what? If she didn't help him learn to control the gift, he would die. Or so she said. Richard turned at a sound from behind. Kaylin stepped out of the darkness of an archway. Her long hair didn't flow over her shoulders, but was tied back in a single braid. Instead of her white confessor's dress, she wore the red leather of a moored Sith. Richard stood stiffly, his chest heaving. Kaylin, I refuse to think of you in this way, even in an illusion drawn from my own mind. She arched an eyebrow.
But isn't this what you fear most?
Change it, or be gone.
The red leather shimmered and became the white confessor's dress he knew so well. The braid came undone.
Better, my love? I'm afraid it still won't save you. I have come to kill you. Die with honor. Defend yourself.
Richard drew the Sword of Truth. The unique ring of its steel echoed throughout the tower. Wrath surged through him as the magic was loosed. He endured with detached misery the sensation of murderous need while looking upon the face of the only person who made his life worth living. His knuckles tightened on the braided wire hilt, on the bumps of the word truth. His jaw muscles flexed as he gritted his teeth. He felt a rush of understanding at how the wizards could have made life fire and have given themselves into it rather than endure what was to be done to them. Some things were worse than death. Richard tossed the sword to the ground at Kaylin's feet.
Not even an illusion, Kaylin. I would rather die.
Her green eyes shone with a sad, timeless, knowing look.
Better you had died, my love, that you wouldn't see what I have come to show you. It will bring you more pain than death.